Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soule. We're missing Rob Larson again. I think he's in the process of quitting.
Yeah, he's
the podcast. But we're joined, very special guests. You know him as Thunder Mob on Twitter. Jacob, we're not going to say your last name, but thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Excited to be back.
Yeah, we're happy you're here, and joined as always by the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys like chocolate?
I could go for some chocolate.
You like chocolate? You like chocolate. I know you like
definitely. Chocolate. Milk chocolate.
Okay,
milk
so chocolate. This is kind of funny. Fan. So Mondelez International, an owner of Tasty Treats, including Cadbury, which I don't really know what that is.
The Cadbury egg.
What is
it? No, it's like the Easter guy.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is. I don't know if I like this.
I'll hook you up with one on Easter because I love Easter.
Do you have any?
Easter's not real.
Well, and Oreo too, which I know what Oreos are. Anyway, they're looking to hire a chocolate taster to test out the company's products.
What?
So you have to move to England.
Okay, check.
Yeah, and eat chocolate from 12:15 to 2:45.
Oh, God.
So
is there like
2.5 hours of eating chocolate.
Is there a quota that you have to meet amount-wise?
I don't know. It doesn't say that. Taking this from the Huffington Post. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so it's just a part-time job. Would you do it if it paid right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Do you think you would kind of get sick? Do you think you just like take a little bite and then move on to the next product?
Probably. And then you get some water to cleanse the palate in between tastes.
Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They should pair that with like wine or something. Then they might
there you
be
go.
On to
get,
something.
Get two tasters going.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, on to the thunder. That was a terrible story we opened with. It's all I had. It's all we had. And you know, everyone's thinking about what happened last night. Thunder, Warriors, KD's return. We're not going to spend too much time dogging on KD. I mean, it's over with. It's done. I'm happy it's over with.
Agreed.
How do you come away from that game, Mob, thinking, you know, just same? Are you happy it's over? Do you feel any better, worse about the Thunder and where they are?
I don't think you're going to learn much about the team from them playing the Warriors anyways. Mm-hmm. I'm happy it's over. I'm happy that we can, you know, put that behind us and just move on. Even though they got blown out, even though we lost by, what was it, 16. Yep. It was nice to see some of the fight, you know, especially with Andre Robertson. You know, everyone says now, today, we can't trade Robertson now because the fight he showed against KD. But just to see the team, like, you know, really stick up for themselves, rally behind, like, it was like the whole team had the Westbrook mindset, the Westbrook attitude last night.
Yeah, well, it's on the heels
really
of,
nice to see.
And it's on the heels of
beating the
last Warriors game, beating the Cavs, which obviously, nice. We have no rundown today, so we didn't even cover that. But this week, the Thunder go 1-2. They beat the Cavs, which was best win of the year. But anyways, back to what Mob was saying about, you know, Robertson, the whole team having each other's backs. Kind of goes back to when Zaza made the punk move, the flagrant foul against Russ, and no one seemed to have their back, so they learned from that. And to me, you look at that game against the Warriors last night, crazy atmosphere, playoff atmosphere. It seems like it's great for the young guys. I mean, because it's pretty much a playoff game, right?
You don't get exposed to that environment that often, I don't think. Like, especially during the regular season. That was insane.
And
it felt like Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't feel like a first-round playoff game. It didn't feel like a second-round playoff game. It felt like Western Conference Finals.
It was intense.
Yeah, I mean, I got to the arena 30 minutes before tip-off.
Yeah.
And it was hard to walk around.
Yeah, there were so many people.
I mean, you were shoulder to shoulder. It was crazy. Everyone was in their seats way before game time.
Yeah, I mean, at shoot-around, it was super loud. Like when they were practicing shots.
Right.
It was crazy.
So let me ask you guys this. Westbrook, 47 points, shot 14 for 26, which is crazy efficient. 11 rebounds, 8 assists, did have 11 turnovers. Much of those came in the first half. Really sloppy in that first quarter, second quarter.
He was trying to do a little too much, forcing stuff.
And, I think so. And they were kind of baiting him into it.
Yeah.
Is that worrisome, though, like moving forward? I mean, you get a game like... I know he had 11 turnovers, but other than that, he scored so efficiently. He was getting to the rim when he had three guys guarding him, you know? Doing what he wants. Is that worrisome, or we just kind of know what we've always known about the Thunder, that he needs help? Or, I mean, do you feel good about his role players around him moving forward, like improving, or does Thunder have to do something at the deadline?
I mean, I feel like they're starting to figure some stuff out. Like, Robertson's played really well the last couple games. He didn't play amazingly last night, but Vic stepped up, scored 20. That was
but
nice.
But I want to talk about Vic, too, because he had 20 on 9 for 15 shooting. It was quiet, though, man. Like, he puts up his points in a quiet fashion. It's almost like kind of similar to how KD did it when he was obviously not at the level that Kevin Durant did it when he was a Thunder player. But
you kind of don't notice he gets 20.
Is that
bugging you? Look up, I don't think so necessarily. I just, like you said, I think we need something else to provide a spark. Ennis was doing a good job of that before he was an idiot and punched a chair. But I mean, it does suck that, like, you don't see much. Like, Cam had a terrible game last night. But, again, it's the Warriors. Like, their whole team is better than our team. Like, we have one guy who's better than their players.
So, like we said, it's playoff atmosphere, right? So, technically, it's a playoff game. And you see those role players not stepping up, not able to contribute, similar to how it would be in a playoff game, right?
Right.
So, I want to talk about this later, but I'm just going to bring it up now because it's kind of in the flow. Obviously, you trust Russ in a playoff series. You trust him in a playoff game. Adams, you probably trust. He's probably your number two most trustworthy player in a playoff game, right? Who's number three? You can include Cantor in this too, if he's your number three. But you have Oladipo, you have Robertson.
I go Vic
over Cantor, over Robertson.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty close between Vic and Cantor. Yeah, on who you trust next?
I just trust Vic on both ends of the ball. Like, right. He can guard.
I think he's got a little dog mentality in him. You know, like he's kind of a bulldog. Like you saw it against the Warriors, he made some tough shots.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I feel like he is getting more confident to like just go and make a shot, like make his own, create his own space and everything. And hopefully that continues, and he just keeps to build from it. But
so you can pretty much say there's five Thunder have five players you can trust in the playoffs, yeah. Right? I mean, they have five with Robertson, because that's crazy to say. But you can trust him in a playoff. We've seen it last year. He's been there multiple seasons now. And you can, honestly, you can't trust him to score because he can't shoot the ball. When's the last time he made a three? When's the last time Robertson made a three?
I can't answer that question.
Find it while we're talking, because I'm so curious about this.
I am too.
He's been shooting the ball so poorly, man. It's kind of becoming a problem.
Yeah. But the last several games, he's also been driving to the rim really well. Yeah, I didn't even know he could do that.
I'm with you.
So that's been nice to see. And if he could just keep doing that and keep being aggressive like that, and then maybe bring up a shot a smidge or two, like make one every two games,
it just hasn't looked good either yeah. Though, like,
no, it hasn't.
A lot of times with him, you can tell when it's going in, when it leaves his hand, because it forms the form's nice and everything like that. But
Jesus,
what are you looking at?
That, yeah, Chicago
against the Bulls was the last time he made a three.
One for four.
The blowout, right? The blowout.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Ugh. Yeah.
So what's he shooting since then? Are you doing math?
Yeah, 0-for-7 since then.
So he hasn't really been shooting a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because he has no confidence shooting the ball. But you know what? If he drives to the basket, I'm not going to complain too much about it. But what about Donovan's lineups, specifically against the Warriors? We know he likes to experiment. At one point, Collison came in early, right?
Yeah.
It looked like he was gonna. What was the point in that? You know,
they had
JaVale McGee, who was dominating early for some otherworldly reason that I don't. I mean, he's just long and big, and
Collison played a solid 2 minutes when he came in.
Yeah.
Did you notice that JaVale McGee has a rat tail?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I noticed that earlier.
I saw that last night.
It's so bad, too. Like, oh, it's like, it makes you
cringe. Yeah.
It's like a dreaded rat tail.
Yeah, it's exactly. Very dumb.
But at one point, like we said, Collison came in. He was playing with Grant, Morrow, Oladipo, and Russ. That's a lineup that's, I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I know that lineup hasn't been played this season. You know? It seems like a weird time to try that, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, man. He's just trying to figure something out against the team, because what do you do against their bench? Their bench features like two of the top 10 players in the league, probably three.
Their bench?
Well, I mean, because they stagger everyone.
I got you. Their bench lineups.
Okay. Yeah, whenever the Thunder's full bench lineup was out there, the Dubs had Draymond and Clay out there. You know,
it's just not fair.
And even Livingston and Iguodala were out there. Abrines was on Iguodala. Mm-hmm. And then you got Cam on Livingston. That doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
Like, Livingston will hit turnaround jumper on Cam ever.
Yeah.
Because he's never missed one.
No, he doesn't miss those.
And a guy that's a foot shorter than him.
5 or 6 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I was thinking is, like, you know, maybe Donovan sees it as a time. He doesn't view the Warriors game as a bigger game than any other game. Maybe that's what I was thinking. But then you look at it and you're like, well, Russ almost played the entire first quarter. He played the entire third quarter, which doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He hasn't been doing that, and he did that. So that makes me think, okay, well, it wasn't just another game. Donovan wanted to win the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, he wants to win the game. But he was, like, really trying to But, see what you can do against him. So that's what's weird to me when you're when you throw out a lineup that's never hasn't played together all season. Seems like a weird time. I don't criticize Donovan. Weird. I don't criticize Donovan that often.
When I like a couple people around me were saying like why is he leaving them out there this whole time while we're like the Warriors scored 43 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, they'd scored every time they had the ball.
Our whole first half, we scored like 52 or something like that. They almost scored our entire total for a half in a quarter.
Yeah, it's
not. And so people were like, why is he leaving that? I was like, but you can't just play Russ right. the whole game.
They would need to.
Yeah.
If they want to, if the Thunder want a chance to beat the Warriors, they need to. And Adams has to be better. Adams.
Yeah.
Which leads me to this. And has he been playing too much? I mean, Adams has been playing a ton of minutes.
He's been playing a lot since Cantor's gone out.
He could be tired, you know? I mean, he's a big guy, and his role on defense and just the fact how he hustles for balls. There's a couple possessions where the Warriors had the ball that he was a step slow. He looked tired to me.
Definitely. Yeah, and big men, you know, I don't think people realize that, but the big man runs the floor the most. You know, when your wing players come down,
they have the longest distance to run. Yeah.
Where big men are running like baseline to baseline each possession, right?
And so especially him, too.
And they're getting beat up by everyone down there. And
yeah, mm-hmm. more physical game down in the post than.
And especially with the way he plays the game. So add all that onto. On
he's
top of each
he's
other.
Like on the ground all the time.
I mean, over the past week, he's averaged the most minutes on the team, just over 37. I think he played, what did he play against Golden State? He played 35 against Golden State, which cut it back a little bit. 39 against Cleveland, 37 against the Pacers. Then you got 37 a game out of Robertson over the past week, and 37 a game out of Russ, 36 a game out of Oladipo.
Right.
He's finding his... I mean, he's sticking with these...
He's getting the guys...
best players right now.
Yeah, because that's what he has to do, like... without Cantor on the bench, like
it was a little disappointing to see Campaign play the way he played against the Cavs, and then
just totally
got benched for Christian. I mean, against the Warriors, I don't know anything.
Yeah, he's just struggling to find consistency.
He didn't really give him much opportunity. He pulled him early, right?
Yeah,
I think it goes back to Livingston. Like he couldn't stay on the floor against him. It was ridiculous.
Defensive purposes.
Yeah,
right. What about Sabonis? He looked a little better. He still struggles at times, but since the Cleveland game, he was okay in the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the fast break a little bit. But he played all right in the Warriors game, right? I think he had the best plus minus of anyone on the team. He's the only positive on the team out of the past week, which, you know, plus minus you can't look too far into, but it is an interesting little nugget there.
Definitely. A bunch of people are really down on Sabonis right now, and obviously so he's been struggling, but... there's flashes of things you see out of that guy that you can tell he's going to be really good.
Right.
Now, like the shot's not falling, the three ball's not going in, and he can't do anything with his right hand. But there's flashes, you know, defensive flashes, the way he moves the ball, his post position, his footwork. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's flashes of things that he's going to be really good at. But you also have to remember, last year in college, he played, 40 games? Mm-hmm. He's already exceeded his college... season,
right?
And we still have almost 30 games to go.
Yeah, right. And the thing about Sabonis too is he's always in the right position for the most part. You know, he puts himself in the right position to succeed. He's just not finishing the plays.
He's not quite there yet. And I think, like you said, like a couple years under his belt, the kid's gonna be really solid.
Yeah, right. I mean, his three ball's not falling for him right now, and that could go pretty much to what you're saying, Mob. You know, the college season a lot shorter. He's tired.
Him shoot those threes, almost all of them front rim, which shows he's not getting enough legs under his shot.
That's a good point. Okay, let's transition here to a little All-Star talk. It's All-Star week.
Mm.
I'm curious, because we might not be able to get another pod in before the All-Star game, so I kind of want to talk about this. Let's start off with slam dunk contest. No Zach LaVine. Right? Aaron Gordon's
going to be there. DeAndre Jordan.
How do you guys feel about DeAndre Jordan, by the way?
I'm kind of curious about this. I feel like he's more of a lob game dunker, though. Like, I don't think he's got a lot of creativity under him.
He can jump, though, right?
Yeah.
His creativity scares me. Really big guys
have a disadvantage in the dunk contest just because of their size. You know,
that's true.
Dwight Howard.
LaVine is fun to watch because he's a little bit shorter and he can fly.
Yeah, he flies, yeah. There's a guy, does he play for the Suns? I've never even heard
Derek
of him.
Derek Jones Jr.?
Yeah.
I think he's got less than like 100 minutes never played heard this of year.
Yeah, and apparently he can fly, though. Right. Like I've seen a lot of people say that he can just jump. I've seen a little bit of video.
Yeah, so it's Gordon, DeAndre Jordan, Glenn Robinson III from the Pacers, and then Derek Jones Jr.
Glenn Robinson, he might be okay. I don't know.
Yeah, assume that Aaron Gordon's going to win because that was the most incredible. Like I feel like he got robbed last year.
I think he had maybe the best dunk I've ever seen.
It was so awesome. Yeah, he's incredible.
Under the legs, over the mascot. That was nice.
Last year's dunk contest was
They're going to have a hard time.
The best one I've ever seen, personally, I think. At least as far as the competition goes, you know, like
for sure.
Vince Carter in 2000 was awesome because his dunks were amazing.
Right.
But as far as having two guys back
just
and
go
forward,
at it, and they like tied so many times and just had to keep coming up with stuff on the spot.
And they never disappointed. They were all good. You know, you're like, oh my.
How do you keep thinking of these things?
And they were hitting them on like their first dunk, too. You know, it's like after someone tries the same dunk for six times.
It's a buzzkill when that happens. You're like, this is stupid.
But Can we just turn it off? Oh, man, that's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
What about 3-point? Who we got in that?
So 3-point, there's several folks in here. Eric Gordon, who you just announced for the wrong thing.
Who at one time was leading the NBA in 3 points, three-pointers, but not anymore. I think Steph overtook that again.
Of course he did. So we got Eric Gordon, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Wes Matthews, CJ McCollum, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, and Swaggy P, Nick Young. He's about to miss so many.
I hope he wins. I'm rooting for him, actually.
I would love for him to win.
You guys taking Klay? Is he just
Klay's got to be the front runner.
Yeah. Kyrie might
be cool
contend.
If I could see the three last people just being like CJ, Klay, and Kyrie.
Yeah, CJ.
Or maybe Eric Gordon.
Maybe
I think Eric Gordon will do well.
Yeah.
Think
so? What about
Lowry? He's a dark horse.
That's a good dark horse.
Get in there.
Lowry's my dark horse. I could see him. I don't know.
I kind of want to see Kemba get in the final three.
That's interesting that Kemba's in there. I didn't realize that he was shooting the three so well.
He's really come around. Yeah, I need to.
Because he hasn't always been a.
No, he was terrible for a while.
Right, he's kind of transformed into that three-point shooting. He made the All-Star game this year. Speaking of the All-Star game, Russell Westbrook's going to be on the team with four Warriors, and we just saw what just happened. You know, KD and Russ finally jawing at each other for an extended period of time. All great fun and kind of annoying to Thunder fans. Is it going to be awkward?
Yep.
It has to be.
It's going to be awkward, yeah.
So you don't think does Russ let it go? Just kind of let everything go. All-Star weekend, you know, whatever. That's something else. This is all for fun. Let's just hang out, have a good time. Or he's still going to have that little chip.
I see him having a chip on it. Like, I feel like he's just going to not really acknowledge the Warriors players. Mm-hmm. And he'll just, like, hang out with, like, someone, like a couple of the other guys.
That's kind of what I see.
And not really just talk to them or laugh with them. Maybe he'll, like, say some words, but... He's not going to be having a good time with him, I don't think.
That sounds like pretty accurate and fair.
I'm interested if Russ will like dap those guys up out of a timeout.
Yeah. Or like,
that's true. Well, you know, like they have the practices before, so you can actually watch the practices on NBA TV, which I always like to do.
Yeah.
That's
going to be fun. Yeah.
Listen, he has to listen to Steve Kerr, too.
Ugh.
Who's just like trying to get him in the
Maybe
Illuminati.
He'll just wear earplugs during the practices.
Oh, he's just listening to music.
His beats on the entire time.
Listening to Now I Do What I Want the entire time.
That would be so awesome.
But I do wonder, like, if Steve
Kerr said he was going to play them with Russ, right? Or
I
someone's,
don't know.
I saw that somewhere.
That Kerr said he plans on playing Russ with some of the Dubs players.
It'd be hard not to, right?
Well, it would be. There's so many of them.
Yeah. And
God, that's annoying.
And Kerr did say he's gonna play all four of the Warriors players at the same time.
So stupid.
At one point.
What's the point?
I don't know. I'm annoyed. Steve Kerr annoys me. I've said this so many times.
We wanted him to die for several years.
It's funny. most people like Steve Kerr, though. You know,
why?
I understand that he says he's public about his political opinions and everything like that, and he says the right thing often about, you know, just the NBA and morally and everything like that. But when you watch him on the court,
he seems annoying.
He seems fake. He complains to the refs all the time. He throws little temper tantrums, and he's just got this face. He's got a punchable face.
Oh, yeah.
Which Michael Jordan punched him in.
That's true.
I'm proud of that.
And I will always defend Michael Jordan and what he does.
100%.
So do you think Kerr plays Russ with the four Warriors?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I think that's happening.
I'm sure he does.
Does Russ just stand on one side of the court?
Do they pass to him? Does he pass to the Warriors?
When that happens, I want Russ to turn around and start scoring on the wrong goal. Start shooting for the East.
Just over and over
and
just keeps going.
First time the Dubs do pass Russ the ball, he turns around and runs the other way and tosses it off the glass and windmills it or something like that.
That would be nice.
It does suck that he's going to be virtually alone.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
Who else on the team could he buddy up with? You know, like Gordon Hayward? Like, who's he gonna buddy up with? He could go to Gordon and be like, "Hey, man, Come to OKC.
Just hang out. Yeah. Come here and score points for
us. Did Gordon Hayward put OKC in as a contender, though? I don't know that he would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it'd you just be better. Add him to the team now, they'd be better.
We'd
sure.
be better. I don't know if championship contender would be there. But.
Do you guys like that idea, though, of like getting a small forward to start and bring Oladipo off the bench? Is yes. that what you guys would do?
I do enjoy
probably,
that idea.
Yeah.
So he still plays probably the same amount of minutes he plays now, maybe a little less. But
speaking of Hayward, he's in the skills challenge.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the skills
challenge. Taco Bell skills challenge. Delicious.
They should have to eat like an no, insane like amount of Taco
Bell. Four cheesy gordita crunches yeah. and
after
then
after
do
they
this
hit
challenge.
The half court shot. Yeah. Four they, chalupas.
Yeah. And then try not to puke on the rest of the. So who else is in
so
it?
There's Devin Booker, DeMarcus Cousins.
Are they doing the bigs versus smalls again? Or is it?
I think so. I think that's the format is bigs yeah. versus smalls again.
So who's the smalls?
So Devin Booker, Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, and John Wall. Ooh. And then there's Chris Stapps, Joel Embiid, who might not
yeah,
be.
Yeah, so he's not going to be in
he's
it.
He's probably not going to be playing. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins.
Who you guys got? Didn't Cousins win it last year? I think he
no,
did.
No, Cat did.
Yeah. That's right. That's
Cat
right.
killed it.
Yeah. He's probably going to replace Embiid or something.
Yeah, I would imagine that. So.
I'm going Wall.
Yeah, I was about
yeah
to say,
John Wall's
Wall.
Definitely going to get the...
Wall or IT.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas could be really Isaiah good. Might do it. I'd like to see Russ in that. He'd probably be terrible, though.
I want to see Kristaps take it for the bigs.
Do you guys remember when Reggie Jackson did the skills challenge and like walked through it and yep. just did the motions and didn't even try hard?
He would do
it
that.
It was so awkward. Yeah. So awkward.
He would do that. Reggie
and
Jackson.
He was just sweating buckets, though, somehow.
Speaking of Reggie Jackson, we've done a lot of general NBA talk on this pod, which is kind of interesting. But he's not having a great year. He's kind of getting outplayed by Ish Smith.
He Oof. Might get traded by the deadline.
Yeah, there's been rumors
out
there.
They want to move him.
They're still starting him, but Ish is playing just as many minutes as he's playing, if not more, on some nights. And Reggie's numbers have not been there.
Do you find that hilarious? I kind of enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. I think if he gets traded, you remember how when the Thunder got beat by the Warriors? You guys remember when the Thunder got beat by the Warriors in the playoffs?
Never.
Well, he tweeted out the little smirky face.
Oh, yeah.
I think every Thunder player should do that. if he gets traded. Just right.
I hope if he gets traded by the deadline, someone like Russell Westbrook tweets hashtag tears of joy.
God. I mean, it's
he is still making $80 million, though.
That's true. So. It just sucks, though, because he
must be nice.
He's a nice player, and he'd be nice to have on this team right now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he wasn't such a loser. Yeah. Ad time?
Yeah. Yeah, we can. Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Okay, way to just stall. Is it me or is it you?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you play Daily Fantasy, Mob?
From time to time.
Do you? If so, you should be playing Draft. Just DRAFT, all caps. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than FanDuel or DraftKings.
Studies show that almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players.
You sound like the people on the FanDuel commercial.
I'm trying to. Okay. That's the
on
idea.
On FanDuel?
There. On FanDuel. So if you don't have a master's degree in statistics, you might want to head over to Draft. You'll win more often. It's science.
It is science. And on Draft, you do a simple snake drive draft, just like at the beginning of your season-long fantasy league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last just 1 day and take only minutes to complete.
So download Draft now. Search Draft in the App Store and it'll come up. Be sure to enter promo code ABPN when you download it, and you'll get a 100%, that's 100% bonus, when you deposit up to $600.
You got
Search
more.
Draft. Promo code ABPN.
Do it.
Legitimate or preposterous.
Still our best sounder?
100%. Love it.
We got the this or that one. Wait, not this or that.
Who's that guy?
That's a good
that
one.
That one's fun.
Didn't you guys play each other in Who's That Guy?
Yep.
Yeah, we did.
That's right.
I think we both did ass terrible.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we were awful.
Hard game.
I did beat Rob once in it, which was a good time.
You did, but you...
I got to bring that up. Kind of cheated. I did cheat a little bit.
Okay.
Pulled a
legitimate
Patriots.
Or preposterous. You probably know how it works. If you don't, I read a statement, and the other guys are going to tell me if that statement is legitimate or if that statement is preposterous. Number one, Steve Kerr is going to try to mend KD and Russ's relationship at All-Star Weekend.
I'm going to go preposterous.
Okay. I like it.
Good. I don't want him meddling.
Yeah.
I think Steve Kerr enjoys the kind of
the
feud and the tension, yeah. And I don't think he has any interest in helping KD yeah. and Russ mend a relationship. And honestly, I don't think Russ wants a relationship to be mended. So
yeah,
he definitely right. doesn't.
I could just see Kerr being like the...
He may have him like do yoga together with
right.
him.
He's like a therapy type or something. Yeah. I don't know.
He does a lot of yoga. I know that.
Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
He would.
Of course he would.
He'd probably like meditate for 7 hours afterwards. Oh, Steve Kerr.
That you think if he did that, he'd be a little less...
Angry? Yeah.
Pissed off on the bench, you know?
That's true. He like sees red at times and just smashes things, punches things. Okay, number two, Jason, it's for you. It's acceptable to reply to Warriors fans on Twitter with judgmental personal jabs.
100% legitimate is the best way to do it.
They're the worst fans.
They're so bad.
God.
Like, yeah, we get it. You have all the players.
Does that make you feel good? Okay, yeah. I'll give you a real one right here.
Okay.
Legitimate or preposterous, Russell Westbrook will gun for a third consecutive All-Star Game MVP. And furthermore, the Warriors players will attempt to prevent that from happening.
Back-to-back legitimates.
Both of them?
Yes. Yeah.
So you really think the Warriors players would do that?
I can see that happening because they're very stupid.
They have a dislike.
I don't like them.
They have a dislike for Russ, don't they?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and they, like, I saw Steph and Draymond wore those cupcake shirts after the game last night, which pissed me off. Mm-hmm. They were just annoying.
Yeah.
I really dislike them.
They're like a beat a guy while he's down. You know, it's just kind of... It's like
you guys shouldn't gloat just because... Right. You were able to change the CBA around and get an all-star player.
You added a top five player and you won 73 games.
Yeah.
You blew it yourselves. We just are so mad. So
I'm very upset.
Okay, next one. Mob, it's for you. Legitimate or preposterous, the Thunder will need 50 wins to grab the fourth seed.
They're if you're sitting interested, right now.
Yeah, read some standings for
they're us. They're 31-24.
Well, the four seed for reference,
seventh.
Utah's in the four seed right now. They're 34-21, which.
And how many games? How many games left? Left?
So if they're 34-21, that makes 55. So 27 games left. So the Thunder have 27 games left. That means they would need to win 19 of those games. By the way, the Thunder have the easiest schedule remaining of the Jazz, Clippers, Grizzlies, and Thunder. Good. Thunder have the easiest and the most home games.
Nice. I'm going to go preposterous on that, but not by far. I'm going to say 48-49 will get you the full seed. I don't know if it's going to get up to 50.
Utah's currently on a 51-win pace.
But they've kind of fallen off a little bit lately.
They struggle. Like. Yeah, they're 5-5 in their last
two
games.
They've been like winning some or losing some games that you would think they could just handle.
When's Chris Paul supposed to be back?
Hopefully never. I think he should retire, right?
Do you have any idea?
I think they said whenever we got hurt, 4 to 6 weeks, but I can't remember how long ago we got hurt.
That was the last time.
That was against us.
Yeah.
So it was like.
Because he broke his hand on Russ's shorts.
2 to 3 weeks ago?
Something like that.
All right. Last one, Jason, for you.
Yeah.
Unless you guys get one.
No, I'm good.
Enes Kanter has played his last game in a Thunder uniform. Legitimate or preposterous?
Ooh. That's close for me. I want to go preposterous, but barely. I'm kind of like his last one. Mm-hmm. I kind of am on the fence, maybe a 40%.
Are you kind of playing the odds there?
Legitimate.
I mean, it's like...
Well, he's hurt. Yeah. I feel like his trade value went down a lot just because of that. And, I mean, seeing how important he was to the bench, like I just feel like maybe they're going to reevaluate it and hope maybe he can pick
up
his defense.
Well, I think that's what you can hope for, though, like, since you see how valuable he was to the bench, maybe that
translates
helped his value.
To his value.
I know he's hurt, but what would you say to this? Would you say he's played his last game?
Oh, it's really tough. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say preposterous as well because I think he gets moved on draft night rather than at the deadline.
That idea.
That's the Thunder's chance, right? I mean, either you trade him now or you trade him in the offseason if you want to get something big time.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's what they have to do. So. We'll see. God, it's getting here, right? The 23rd trade
yeah.
A week from Thursday.
Whew. Wow.
Almost here.
And you know the Thunder are going to make a move, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the Thunder's got to do something at the deadline, and they have to do something on draft night.
Yeah, we got to.
I think this team's going to look a lot different come opening night next year.
I would think so, but that's where it gets kind of weird, right? Because this team looked a lot different on opening night this year, and it's not really the Thunder style to have a very different team year to year to year.
Yeah.
But I know it's like, all part of Presti's plan. He's you know,
he's got to retool around Russ. I think you got to you got to change some stuff around because it's not set up to give him assistance right now.
So do you think his whole plan basically is just to assemble all these young potential role players and kind of pick and choose the ones that he likes to move forward with and get rid of the others? Or is he, what's the plan here? Like, how do you see him? He wants to get a superstar, right?
You would think so. You want to get a superstar. It's how do you get the superstar? Right, I mean Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's not coming to Oklahoma City. Sorry, guys.
Hey,
Paul George isn't coming to Oklahoma City. Right. Sorry,
I'm
guys.
Upset about that.
You know, if those guys are getting traded, there's teams that have a lot better trade offers than what the Thunder can throw at them.
But yeah, I would say that I don't think the Thunder have poor offers
for
to
sure.
make. I mean, I think they have assets to offer. But you're right.
Yeah.
If they're going to get a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George, it has to be because a team like the Celtics aren't making an offer, you know.
Exactly. Right. The Celtics have so much more to offer than what the Thunder do,
yeah,
right?
They have 40 and so that's why next I don't see Nets picks.
The Thunder getting another superstar right now, I think it has to be incremental, right?
Mm-hmm.
One step at a time. We're not going up the whole staircase at once. You got to go a step at a time. And that's how I see Presti trying to retool this team moving forward.
But then
we know he loves young guys. We know he loves contract flexibility where he can control stuff moving forward. He loves long athletic players. So I can see him going for someone like that at the trade deadline now, utilizing his first round draft pick in July or in late June, I guess. And then also making some sort of trade on draft night to get another young piece in here.
That's where it gets hard though, because you have Russell Westbrook who's 28 years old. You know, it's going to be the same type of summer this summer as it was last.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has the option, he's going to opt out the year after next because he's going to be going.
But we have the ability to offer him that $200 million 6-year extension right now.
But sure, but if he looks at this team and he says
he's going to lose that if he doesn't do it this year.
Well, I mean, but if he says, what are we doing? We're just, you know, we got another young piece and he's good, but that doesn't make us competitors.
I think they have to lay out a plan for him. And I like what you're saying. I kind of see this team, if you can almost think about it as when Harden went to the Rockets, to me, like he was the guy, but they had built a team around other stuff. And over the couple of years, they've figured it out completely. They're like, oh, he just needs shooters around him. And then a couple bigs here and there.
It is slightly different because he went to Houston when he was 24 years old, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. So you know, when
so Russ you kind of have to speed up that process a little, but
because it is kind of like Russ went to a new team. He's 28. I mean, KD left. He's on a new team. Yeah, he went with Adams. You know, he still had Cantor, but it's going to be so interesting to see what the Thunder do. There's never been a more anticipated trade deadline for the Thunder, I don't think, because we don't know what to expect. No one knows what to expect right now. I mean, Cantor could get dealt and go sit on the bench somewhere else. You know, we don't know. Do you think he holds value in the NBA, like a legitimate good value for the money that he makes?
And it's Cantor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little overpaid.
I think he's helped himself out this year.
But
I think he still struggles defensively, but I think teams can see the value he has in post scoring and now in his passing.
Yeah.
I think that has really increased his trade value, along with his willingness to accept a role. You know, whenever he left Utah, one of the problems was he didn't like his role coming off the bench. But now that he's playing for a contender and a team he likes, he's okay coming off the bench. So I think those things and
that's helped
his
him
youth,
a lot.
Right? I mean, how old is Cantor? 24?
Yeah, I think he's 24.
He still has tons of room to grow.
Yep. And he can shoot the ball a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think he's got value.
Yeah, he's not shooting the three that well this year, but you see it there. Like when he's 30, the guy's going to shoot a good percentage from three. I would bet on that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can shoot the ball.
Especially if he gets more opportunities to do that.
And another thing that adds to his value, I think, is the fact that he's played with Russell Westbrook. He's played with Kevin Durant. He's played with these guys that know how to win. And I think that helps. That helps him. And people would like to have a guy like that on their team. The Thunder would like to have him on their team if they can get. I mean, the Thunder's dream is if they could get someone, you know, to come and keep the core around them, but that they already have, but that's just not going to happen.
And, and then the argument comes up, you know, do you want Cantor at $17 million a year moving forward, or Joffrey LaVerne at a possible $7 or $8 million a year going forward, you know?
But you can clearly see on the court, while LaVerne has nice games here and there, Cantor's a better player. He's a more impactful player. I think he's got more potential even. LaVerne has his moments, though.
He's a nice player.
He can shoot the three, okay, you know, but he doesn't. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a good defender.
I think the argument it comes to then is value versus pay.
It's how you weigh it. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
is the value Cantor's giving you worth the money that you're giving him, right? And when you break it down, is having LaVerne on a cheaper deal more valuable than having Cantor on an expensive deal? You know, and I don't think there's any arguing that Cantor's the better player, but when it comes down to value and price, you have to.
I do wonder if, you know, there, if Sam Presti holds a little hope that, you know, maybe Cantor becomes that second star. Maybe he can. You know, I don't think any one of us actually think he will, but you see glimpses of it when he completely takes over at times. It's usually not versus a good team, but that's how it starts, right?
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
But in his passing, like you said, Mav, like it's gotten so much better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's still not a good passer.
I mean, he definitely keeps showing huge amounts of improvement every year. Like, I think that's a positive, and it helps his value on the trade market or for us, either way.
I agree. It's going to be interesting. We're going to have to do something breaking down trade deadline coming up. Ugh. Twitter questions?
Twitter questions. All right. Nice. At Basket Follower.
Ah, good handle.
Yes. He follows baskets everywhere they go. Ilyasova having a good season in Philly. Would Thunder be better without Grant Ilyasova trade for this season?
Probably. Long term with Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
That Grant deal was a long term.
I have no issue with the trade.
Yeah, I like Grant's potential for sure. Yeah,
Grant's looked really good this past week too.
That's true.
Like when he's on, he looks.
I wish he could guard Kevin a little better, but
yeah, he doesn't know how to use his body entirely yet. Like he's like
a smaller Hashim to be.
He's like a giraffe that was just born. That's what he reminds me of.
Good enough.
I wish they would play him exclusively at the four and not the three.
I've been saying this past couple of weeks. I agree completely. And we've been meaning to talk about it on the pod because me and Rob have been talking about it, but he's quitting the pod apparently. So he hasn't been on there, but I agree. That makes sense. I think he could struggle defensively a little bit, but it would help because he can be a decent weak side shot blocker, you know?
Yeah, so. And he's got some nice size. One of my biggest arguments with him, and sorry, this may be going like way too deep into
like
basketball coaching, but whenever Grant guards threes, especially guys that hang out the wing more, I feel like he crowds them way too much. He gets like right up into his
man. Yeah.
Because he's long.
He's got like a 15-foot wingspan. Right. Play 2 feet off your man and contest with that wingspan.
Right. Yeah.
That way you can take away the driving lane. You don't got to crowd somebody.
Stop fouling
three-point shooters. But he has been hitting the corner three this year, which is nice to see.
Surprise.
I just like him to get a little more control going to the basket.
Yeah, because
he's sure.
Like a maniac.
He always just falls backwards, but
when he catches the ball in the perimeter, he's not sure what to do. It's kind of like
Sabonis kind of have the same, like, well, I have a move that I can
drive
do,
to the basket. So. Yeah.
And then he does his draft run.
He can't enter the ball into the post, which is another reason why he's better at the four, in my opinion.
So at R. Combsy, Russ wants a championship. Would he take a discount to get one?
That's a loaded question, kind of, right?
I don't know if he means with us or somewhere else.
I think that Presti would have to prove
he's got a plan figured out.
Yeah,
to give him a discount.
First of all, you can't say like now, Russ, if you just take a little bit of a discount, I can get better players. Like you're gonna have to show me first. You know, I'd rather have my $10 million
give me that
extra. Yeah, I don't know, but I think that if the situation were right, he would. You know, if there was a guy that needed to be re-signed. But the Thunder couldn't unless someone took a cut or they had to cut someone, but they wanted to keep their core. I think Russ would.
I mean, he's done it before.
He's making a lot of money out of Jordan.
He is. All right. At Justin A. Doherty. trade deadline in this summer free agency. What moves, if any, do the Thunder have to work with in signing another big fish? Kind of touched on that already a little bit. So.
Sorry.
What we said before.
We don't have any way to go get free agents this summer.
That's the problem.
We have no money.
Oladipo extensions kick in, so it's going to be trades at the deadline and on draft night.
So, I mean, something's going to happen. Presti's making calls like crazy now. I guarantee it.
All right.
It'd be fun to be a fly on the wall.
I want to tap his phone.
We
got to
figure that out.
Yeah, can we tap his phone?
Probably.
He's got
IP phones, so jump in there somehow. At Triple Double VGC, with Cantor back at the peak, 20th of March, do we have a chance? We still got to get Zaza's ass back. I agree with getting Zaza back because he was a little bitch and sat out this game.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it's...
But it I seems still like think the, we have no chance.
The Warriors take the Thunder seriously. You know, they take them seriously because...
As they should.
It's personal.
Yeah, it's personal. And, you know, you see the Warriors go down and play Miami one night and lose.
Right.
Well, they probably went out, had a little fun the night before, weren't taking the heat very seriously, don't really care about the game that much. Yeah, they think they're going to, it's not going to be that hard of a game. They're taking the Thunder seriously from the tip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, so, you have to. Russ is on the team.
Yeah, Russ is on the team, and they want to win. KD wants to win that game. They want to win the game for KD, so it's hard to imagine. And
anytime they try, it's really hard to beat them because they have all of the players.
Yeah, yeah, they have all of the good players.
All of them. I don't know how to see this. At Nascimento City, whatever that is, Russ drops 47 on the best team in the world, and we're not even close. Is this really a group in the making, or should we make some moves individually? I see quality in almost everyone, plus some guys on the bench, but I don't know. Help me.
That is a long question.
Yes.
We should make some moves, as we said.
Definitely. This team needs shooting. This team has to get shooting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
shooters that actually make the shots when they shoot them.
Yeah.
And I there's a couple young guys that can shoot the ball, but they're not reliable shooters at this point in their careers.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you're right. I mean, they got to get shooting. I don't know that shooting necessarily makes them contenders or contenders in the future right now, but eventually they're going to have to have shooting if they want to contend.
It's twofold. You know, number one, all these shots, these three-point shots that the Thunder are putting up and missing and starting games 1 of 12, more of those go in. And when those go in, defenders pull out to guard shooters. Yep. The lane is open for Russell Westbrook.
And not only
more highlight dunks.
And not only that, when the ball goes in the hoop, it makes defense a lot easier. Oh, you don't have to get out in transition to play defense, you know? I mean, I know Thunder, that's why the Thunder are a good offensive rebounding team, is because they have to be. Yeah. They have to be, or they're going to get blown off the court, but they're a really good offensive rebounding team.
All right, last one. At JaredKW13, after last night's altercation with KD, the headbutting, is Robertson untradeable?
That's a good question.
I like it.
I want Robertson on this team because... He's
got grit, man.
He provides a certain value on the court that not many players do. You know, I mean, he's brings it every night on the defensive end, and he's so good at it. So I'd like to see Robertson as a Thunder player for
eternity.
I can see. Yeah,
until he's
honestly
dead.
I know he can't shoot for anything, but and I understand, like, if you're looking at it now, in another team out there wants Robertson, and you can get a good offensive player for him. I get it if you have to make the move. I guess I get it. I don't want to see that, but if there's a day coming where the Thunder get another player that makes them a contender, I'd like to see Robertson on the team still.
Agreed.
I agree with that.
And now for the Russell Westbrook triple-double counter.
But before we get to the Russell Westbrook triple-double, so would you say he's untradeable? Like the Twitter's question? The Twitter's question?
The Twitter's questions?
Robertson untradeable?
Yeah.
No.
Especially with how much money I think he's going to get.
How much do you think
he's going to get? 15?
I think someone throws 13 at him.
Yeah, someone might.
I think we would match 13.
3 for 39.
I don't think we would match 15.
4 for 52.
Yeah, we might. It's so hard to say.
Where's the line? 13-5?
Do you go in the tax for Andre Robertson?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Andre Robertson is like, and it's canon to me, and when you have Kevin Durant on this team, those are the types of players you have to round out a championship roster.
Right.
This isn't a championship roster right now.
Yeah.
So you have to go get...
The guy that can get you there.
Yeah, the big pieces, and then you fill them in with Robertsons and Cantors.
Yeah, the hard part's getting stars. It's a lot easier to get role players than it is to get stars.
And role players look a hell of a lot better when they have stars around them, right?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so Russell Westbrook's chasing down Oscar Robertson with 41 triple-doubles and averaging a triple-double in the 6-1-6-2 season. Russ now is 26. He's on pace for 39, so he has a little work to do if he wants to catch that 41 number, but he is still averaging that triple-double, 31.2 points a game, which is crazy.
That's over 31 a game.
10.5 rebounds, which is crazy.
Oh, insane.
He's like, what is that, like 11th in the league, I think. But 10.2 assists per game.
You got to bring those assists up.
We've
been harping on this a little.
He needs to average like 9.5 assists a game for the rest of the year to hold on to that. I hope he can do it. On to notes?
Yes.
Notes! Okay. The NBA issued a memo stressing rules that prohibit mocking or ridiculing opponents or officials by the team by teams on social media. So like the Kings, the Hawks, teams that have clever social media.
Not us.
Like it, love it, hate it.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
I think this came out of the Portland Chandler Parsons back and forth,
for sure.
Which was incredible.
It was awesome. Right?
Yeah. This is why people like the NBA and are mad at the NFL, because it's like, you know, the no fun league.
Yeah, exactly.
The Twitter accounts for the NBA teams make it so much more fun.
Yeah, well,
so.
Like there was, what was that, a year or two ago where the Rockets media guy got fired because they...
For the horse and the gun emoji.
Oh, God, it was so good.
I'm with
that
you guys.
That made me a fan of that, dude.
I'm with you guys. This is what... This is fun.
This is what makes the NBA fun.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that they did anything like this.
Yeah. Right? It's kind of a bummer.
So, KD, we all know he hired extra security for his return to OKC with the advice of Rich Paul, LeBron's agent.
So dumb.
I wonder if he needed it, you know? Did you see the Draymond
Green Snapchat? I almost saw several fights last night.
Yep.
Draymond Green Snapchat with the cop outside of his hotel room and stuff.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yep. I saw some people getting really chippy last night, though, out, like around Mahogany's. They were
really?
Yeah, there were some girls just that were throwing down some slams on some Draymond dudes.
Interesting.
They were like these huge guys. I think they were his posse or something. Wow. Is that, can you say posse still?
Oh.
Are we doing that?
Not now. I don't think we can.
I'm probably going to get
the downtown, fined. Speaking of Mahogany, so they declined KD's $40,000 reservation attempt to rent out the place.
And love that.
They still let him eat there afterwards, which is fine.
Yeah.
Apparently Russ was there too.
About 15 feet away.
15 feet away. They didn't speak.
To be a fly on the wall.
How awkward, man. How tense, right? Who was Russ there with, I wonder? Maybe it's just his wife or...
Probably.
I think they said Durant was there with Clay right? Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would. They
I
fine.
Can just imagine Russ and Kevin Durant eating steak, just never
staring
breaking
at each
contact.
Other, though.
Okay, up next, Washington tomorrow night on Monday, or today if you're listening tomorrow. And then Wednesday, last game for the All-Star break. The Knicks coming to town. The disastrous Knicks. And then we're going to go ahead and include the All-Star game, which is on Sunday for the Hero or Zero. Obviously, Russell Westbrook's playing for the West, so that's what we're predicting. And I guess I'm in the lead, so I'll make my first prediction.
Yeah, yeah.
So at Washington, Knicks, that's hard. Washington's been hot at home. Knicks coming to town, they're a disaster. The West All-Star team I like a lot more than the East. I'm going to go 2-1. And you're picking for Rob today.
Oh.
So what do you got here?
Do I sabotage it?
Yes.
You totally can if you want.
3-0.
Yeah!
Yes! So I like it.
But honestly, you feel pretty good about the Thunder's chances to go to Washington when they get
I think it's going to be a really tough game, mm-hmm. but I like Westbrook over Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Adams over Gortat.
Mm-hmm. Although Gortat does have a bigger nose.
Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Adams has the bigger brow.
No, yeah, for sure.
Thunder's bench over Wizards bench. It's going to be a tough game. It'll be a really tough game. But I think not from a basketball performance standpoint, but just by the fight the Thunder showed Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
The cohesiveness. I just like the mojo of the team moving forward.
I
you know
it's
what?
A bit of a step.
You just talked me into 3-0. I'm
all
going
right.
for it.
I haven't asked Twitter yet, but we will find out what they have to say. But I do like that the Warriors game, you know, it seems like a bit of a stepping stone type game, a kind of a monumental time for
like
this
we,
team.
For like
this
what we were
team.
Talking about, the fight they showed last night was awesome. Like, that they did make a mm-hmm. run back to make it competitive. Like,
and it's funny, too, because I really thought the Thunder were going to have a chance to win that game. But once the game started, I was like, what was I thinking? Really?
Yeah, I know. I was that 25% sounds insane right now.
Right, because like we said earlier, playoff atmosphere, so many young guys. Nothing like
Rob,
we haven't been a part
Rob
of
Rob bumped his up to like 90% chance to win right before the game started.
Once the beer started kicking in.
Yeah.
Okay, follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderheads and follow Thunder Mob at ThunderMob 405. Subscribe on iTunes. Search Thunderheads. It'll pop right up. We are the official Oklahoma City Thunder A-Team podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Check out almightyballer.com for more. Find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play, whatever you'd like. KD's return, come and gone. I'm glad it's gone.
Agreed.
Glad it's over with. Keep your heads up. As always, Thunder up.